Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
At the direction of the mayor's office, staff initiated discussions with planning board regarding a food truck court as a new land use category. What this food truck court proposal does is it allows it as a land use, either by right or as a conditional use within some zoning districts.
Sorry, I got distracted by Candy playing along with the... Yeah, she's got her whoopee cushions in here. She's accompanying it like some, third-rate Scottish bagpiper. It's great. Do it.
I just got a dirty look from Brent, and he's like, I'm sure he just had.
But Mel's dying, so I love it.
Anyway, I got her a yellow one.
So this is Leslie Statter. She's the Development Services Coordinator for the City of Pensacola, talking about the food truck court zoning proposal to create basically an area that would allow conditional use in some places and use by right in other places to build these food truck courts.
We've had increased interest in the community. I mean, we all know where there's a food truck on every corner. They're popular. They offer culturally diverse food experiences. It provides an avenue for small, innovative businesses to operate and to flourish. It creates placemaking opportunities within our community. All throughout the city.
Yeah, lots of things that can come from having these kind of impromptu outdoor restaurant, like a food court, basically, only with, can we be honest, way better food than at the food court. nothing against food court food, but I think we all know that food trucks are just pretty much fantastic.
You like food trucks?
I do like food court food. So can I tell you the only thing that keeps me from eating at food trucks all the time is I just don't go out to eat. I don't spend a lot of money just on stuff like that.
But yeah.
Right. But it's just, you know, the price. In my brain, a food truck is supposed to be like $4. In my brain. I know that's not reasonable. But in my brain it is.
No,
and when it's $12, I'm like, nah. But it's well worth it. It's perfectly priced and it's great food. I'm just in my brain, I'm always thinking, why so much?
But, no, that makes sense. I've had one conversation with Bobby Rossi like the whole time that he's worked here.
Yeah.
And it was about food truck food than food court. So, you know,
very good.
We agree.
What we've proposed actually provides development standards. So you would have buffers. You would have permanent restrooms. We would codify the fire code requirements. We'd have landscaping and green space requirements and setbacks. We would also quantify the number of trucks that you could have. The minimum would be one, the maximum would be six.
So there's parameters, and as you heard, there's setbacks and utilities and restrooms and a size for the pad specifically, and then you could have minimum size, and you could have bigger ones if you wanted to, but maximum of six food trucks in a food court or food truck court, and minimum of one that you could have. And, one thing that she noted is this has been done around the country in a lot of places, but...
Or they were no longer in business. We found a lot of that. There were a lot of food truck parks that were promoting, 10 or 12 spaces. And I don't know if the pandemic caused a problem, but they just weren't in operation any longer.
Yeah, so a lot of the attempted food truck courts around the country had basically, gone away or petered out or whatever. I just love it because it's the experimental concept, right? It's low barrier to entry for somebody who wants to be a restaurateur, obviously. I mean, a food truck's not cheap. But it's not a restaurant, right? And so there's the availability to develop something that might eventually become a restaurant or might never become a restaurant. They had to deal with the parking requirements. They set them relatively low. Again, utilities are going to be there. The restrooms, that's all very, very common. That's the kind of stuff that's normal in this industry. Casey Jones asked the question, but even aside from this particular rule, can people still park like in a parking lot, like at a brewery or something like that?
But if it's a parking lot that has multiple food trucks in it, is that going to fall under any kind of, City Hall does that sometimes?
They would still be allowed to be accessory to a primary use. Okay. This just establishes them as a collective.
Yeah, so they can still do what they were doing. And then the other question is, what about in places where they're kind of... We've had this weird relationship with food trucks in Pensacola because they were banned for a long time because restaurant owners were upset. And there's a long conversation about all this stuff. And we kind of did sort of ban them and then sort of stopped banning them. And I personally, if you ask me, Andrew, what's the rule on food trucks in the city? I'm like, you can eat at them? Like, that's, I don't know. But basically, there's now, you can get conditional use. Like, you have to still come to City Hall in the areas where it's banned right now, and in order to set up one of these places, if you want to set it up. So the council can still say no if they don't think it's appropriate for the neighborhood. And some people have been asking for this. So apparently there is a sort of pent-up demand of a degree to create these food truck courts. I know we've seen them more. I've seen them like on Highway 98 in Santa Rosa County, very common. There's one or two of them. And the one that I think of is very, very popular. It's always packed when we drive by.
We've had several developers come to us and say, hey, we just want to have, you know, multiple food trucks. How do we do that? You know, we want to set that up as the use. Well, you can only be accessory to a primary use.
Okay, yeah, so, you know, right now, but under this ordinance, which it's not in place, it's not passed, this is just kind of the first hearing presentation about it, but based on the questions and the comments, it looks like this is likely to pass with, you know, easy, basically, when it finally comes to it. 616 on News Radio 92.3, which I think is a good thing. Sounds like an opportunity for capitalism, business, and people to eat stuff they want to eat. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
That's right. And on Highway 98, I've eaten at one of those little food truck courts. Those are neat.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's cool. But not showing. We are showing an accident, or not an accident, I'm sorry. There's construction on Highway 98. And speaking of Highway 98, though, this is in Gulf Breeze near the Tiger Point entrance, so be cautious. And I am showing it's very slow in that area. It's down to one lane. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Since we were talking about this, I'll make my one suggestion that I try to make whenever the subject comes up, which is, you know how we have like these food truck events, food truck rallies, and there's like 10 or 12 or 20 and all in one place. I find those a little frustrating because you're only going to eat one. I mean, you're not going to buy it from like five different places unless you're with a group.
Well, I hear you.
And so what I always think in those circumstances is, and also if you had like a food truck court that was six or seven, or well, six, I guess, in this case, is if you had like sample size.
Sure.
You know, like you can buy, you know, I feel like Hollywood Shuffle. Like, how much for just one rib, you know? Like how much for just a sip, right? Like, you know, what can I get for $2, you know? And then, because like when we used to go to the Taste of Chicago, it was a huge event, and you'd go, you know, you buy tickets, and then when you go all to all the individual places, you don't get like a rack of ribs. You give them two tickets, and you get two ribs.
Right, it's like the steak cook-off.
And then you get sample sizes. To me, that always seemed like, especially in the big, you know, food truck rally kind of things, sample sizes would be, for me personally, that would be very appealing. Because all the otherwise, what happens is you'd like, you buy your meal at the one place and then you're just angry you can't eat at all the others. So, you know, anyway, that's...
I don't know, if there's like 1,000 people and you have like 20 trucks to choose from, you get to eat faster.
Yeah, well, that's true too.
Hello.
Hey, if you have HVAC work that needs to be done, or electrical or plumbing, anything like that, Peden Air Conditioning, Heating, Electrical, they'll take care of you with good quality products, good installation, professional service, and of course a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Right now, as we're looking at, you know, a storm that's looks like it's going to miss us, another storm that we're not quite sure, and another one maybe coming behind that. Hey, it's hurricane season. Guess what? $1,000 off Briggs & Stratton whole home generators right now. Free sewer camera inspections, and then if there's anything that needs to be done, you get $250 off the repairs. They're hiring right now in Baldwin County. They're hiring HVAC techs and plumbers, and of course, they are serving Baldwin County. That's a relatively new thing, just started a couple of months ago. So Peden Air Conditioning and Heating, find out more at PEADEN, that's peden.com.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Party down with a big bang. Shelton Fireworks has been in business for over 40 years. Located on I-10, exit 53, the first Alabama exit, Robertsdale, Alabama. Shelton sends the world's largest selection with over 35,000 square feet of fireworks, the largest finale cakes, and the largest mortars legal in the USA. If it goes boom, Shelton's has got it. Located on I-10, exit 53, the first Alabama exit, Robertsdale, Alabama. For more info, go to sheltonfireworks.com, home of the big ones.
Hey, Escambia. Today, we're talking trash, specifically bulk waste. Starting July 1st, 2023, bulk waste service will be called for pickup. You can schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included and no additional charge.
You may schedule a free bulk waste pickup or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee by calling customer service at 850-476-0480. Check out ecua.fl.gov for more information.
Know what to throw, 850.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Then, as of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
You On to Others program. It's to help students in need and alleviate some of the financial pressure on teachers. The goal is to donate $1,000 for each of the five Milton schools for a total donation of $5,000. The program will be administered through the Santa Rosa Education Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. All donations are tax deductible.
Motion to approve.
Second.
This is the DUO program, again, the Do Unto Others program that they're looking at the Milton City Council, brought to the council by Linda Sanborn from the school board. And the idea, again, was to put $1,000 on a gift card in the hands of the principal at all the schools in Santa Rosa County. Milton City Council had said, let's do that for the five city schools. Let's pay the $5,000. Marilyn Farrow had been raising objections to this, saying that it's not an appropriate use of money, that other charities do this already, and you know the city doesn't need to be funding it this way. I think part of that has to do with her in a political dispute or disagreement with Linda Sanborn. But in any case, she hadn't quite given up on the issue, but she just realized that she was on the losing side of it, which is smart to realize, and then thought, well, how can I, what can I do in the losing side of this and maybe make some headway on making sure that, other things are met appropriately.
I just wondered, if this is approved today, will there be reassurance that the money that we're sending from the city to this foundation will actually go towards our city schools?
Yes, ma'am. That's been the condition all along.
Okay. That's Mayor Heather Lindsay. And yeah, of course, sure. And she says, well, okay, aside from this DUO program, let's just make sure that all the schools also have clothing closets, right? Because clothing can go pretty quickly through $1,000, but let's make sure clothing is available to the kids.
Perhaps we should pursue establishing or making sure that there are clothes closets in each of the schools. So that's something I'm willing to look into with the school board and just see if that's something we can help with. My home church has just started a program too, where they're asking for donations of gently used shoes. So that's something that perhaps we can pass along to the clothing closets as well.
Yeah, and that's a good suggestion. And, as she said, even though she's opposed to the program, she doesn't oppose the charitable help. And she says her own church, she gives to the church program that does this stuff. And just kind of keep in mind that if you're wanting to understand the city of Milton City Council right now, it's going to be an awful lot of blank to two, depending on how many members are there. It's going to be 5-2, 6-2, 4-2, an awful lot in the votes, because Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack are going to be the ones who typically vote against.
Okay, the votes are Councilman Jarrett, aye. Councilman Powell, aye. Councilman Hawthorne, aye. Councilwoman Meese, were you aye?
Aye.
Councilman Snow was aye. Councilwoman Farrow was nay. Councilman Cusack was nay.
There you go. So that's a 4-2. They approved it. It's done. Zip, boom, over $5,000 goes to the Santa Rosa County Schools Foundation that's going to fund these cards to help out the principals at these five schools, provide you know, exigent circumstance kind of needs for poor kids, which is a great program. I love this program. 625 on News Radio 92.3, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns or delays. Watching the Gulf Breeze at Tiger Point, Highway 98 near Tiger Point, the entrance, as I understand, there's a construction crew there, so it is down to one lane, so you want to certainly use caution in that area. And then we're seeing something else. This is a not in our area necessarily. I don't even think it'll tie you up. But in Baker, Milton, and Steel Road, nowhere near I-10. So you shouldn't have any problems getting where you're going this morning. Again, just that one lane down for construction on the Highway 98 near Tiger Point. Traffic tips, 437-1620. Text them in. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Mm-hmm. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Texas Senate meeting this morning to discuss adopting rules for Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton's impeachment trial. Senator spent most of yesterday meeting behind closed doors discussing things such as whether witnesses will be required to testify and whether Paxton's wife, who is a Texas state senator, will be allowed to participate in the trial as a juror. The top Republican investigating Hunter Biden says he got off easy in his plea deal, pleading guilty to tax misdemeanors. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer called it a sweetheart deal. And there's a Broadway theater going dark tonight in honor of the late Tina Turner. The Lunt-Fontanne Theater dimming its lights at 7 o'clock tonight for 1 minute. Of course, that theater was home to the Tina Turner musical that closed last year.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. This Nico Steakhouse investigation has got to be about the strangest thing I have ever heard of. So, you know, the news is that the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office hasn't been able to solve what happened. They talked to, like, one employee, and it turned out there was nothing there. And we talked to Sheriff Johnson about this on Monday. And, I don't remember if he said specifically, like, the case is closed, but they haven't filed any charges. But the side note on this is that there was, during the night when the people got sick, there was some guy dressed up as a teppanyaki chef in the restaurant, wandering in and out of the kitchen area, apparently, a couple of different times, who did not work there, who had applied there but had not been accepted, and apparently had worked at another place and had left there. And we don't know anything about this guy or whether he did anything or whether he's even related to the story. I mean, it seems a bit coincidental to believe that he's not related to anything that happened. That's kind of a stretch to believe, such a weird thing. But people basically, you know, they ate their food. They started to feel weird. They had, you know, physical ailments, throwing up and up all night and worried and all this kind of stuff. So the sheriff's office goes back in and, there were two different soy sauce bottles. And the chef seemed a little bit evasive about that. Well, why? So they tested the soy sauce bottle and it had meth in it. Well, then they tested the soy sauce packets. And they also tested positive for meth. Well, you can't have soy sauce packets that have meth in them. That's not possible, right? So what they decided was that it was a false positive. So the soy sauce was not the source of the problem. So, like, it's just all this kind of weird stuff going on in this story. Channel 3 doing a really good follow-up on all of this. And so, you know, the table that the people were set, the seven people were supposed to be sitting at near the sushi bar, because there's kind of like the front area, it's all the teppanyaki grills, and then there's one back in the back. Well, apparently that one wasn't even in use that night, they say. Like, what? You know, this is like some episode of the Twilight Zone. And the guy who was kind of in and out, wasn't supposed to be there, they asked him to leave, and he did. And then he kind of waited around the parking lot for a while, and best I can tell, they haven't been able to find him, you know, to know what was going on with him. And it's basically lack of witnesses, lack of surveillance footage, lack of information. And it's still even possible, as we had brought up in the first interview with Sheriff Johnson, that it was inadvertent contamination somehow or other by, you know, kind of like, you know, you bend over the food and, oh, there goes my meth. I mean, who knows? Nobody knows what happened. Weirdest thing. But I will tell you, if you want to know whether to go there or not, I went there on Sunday. We had a good time for Father's Day, and, you know, because My theory was the same as after, you know, 9/11. Now is the time to fly. You know, like, the protocols are going to be super strict.
Was the food good?
The food is good, yeah. I mean, you know, our waitress was fantastic. I don't know if she listens at all, but, you know, she was outstanding, so good customer service. Anyway, so there you go. Weirdest story ever, for sure. 6:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We've got the strike down of the transgender, transsexual hormones and surgery. That had been banned for kids in Arkansas, and now a judge has struck that down, saying, no, parental rights, which is always going to be the tension, right? What that means for Florida and other states have enacted such bans, well, time will tell.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Hunter Biden pleads guilty to two misdemeanor charges related to his tax filings as part of a deal that will drop the felony gun charge after 2 years probation, the president says.
I'm very proud of my son.
But critics are calling this a sweetheart deal. Former Attorney General Bill Barr.
Half country believes there's a double standard of justice, or more than half of the country.
A Canadian military service aircraft has detected underwater noises as the search continues for a missing submersible, taking five people down to the wreck of the Titanic. Bill Willard is a friend of Pierce Nargile, the submersible's pilot. He told Fox.
He's been on Titanic more hours than the actual captain of Titanic, E.J. Smith, was on Titanic walking around.
Estimates suggest as little as a day's worth of oxygen could be left. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 75 right now, partly cloudy in Pensacola. Thursday night's round of severe weather produced a historic amount of rainfall, straight line winds, and now, as we've been learning, a tornado. The National Weather Service has confirmed West Pensacola and Pensacola Beach endured an EF2 tornado that traveled 9 miles and brought heavy damage to homes on Santa Rosa Island.
At this point, that's the only one that we have evidence of. Some people were saying there was one near Milton. We have yet to really get any definitive evidence on that.
Steve Miller there with the National Weather Service, and he says crews went out to do survey damage on Saturday. They found a broad area of 65 to 75 mile an hour winds along that tornado's path. Well, there's some new officers in PPD's ranks. Their names are Bear, Bo, Sino, and Jax, the newest PPD officers. They've been on duty for about a month now.
We find missing persons with them. We found missing kids, Alzheimer's patients who walk away. So the dogs you see here today, it's immeasurable the amount of police work that those four-legged friends of ours are going to do.
Deputy Chief Kevin Christman unveiled the new canine units, which include two Belgian Malinois, a German Shepherd, a Belgian Shepherd. Christman says all four canine officers are funded through donations made by the Bear Family Foundation, Honto and Clark, the Pensacola Finest Foundation. There's new board in place to help draw congressional maps in Alabama. The Alabama State House and Senate both finalized a list of lawmakers that'll serve on a reapportionment committee. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled with a lower court earlier this month that Alabama's map likely violates the Voting Rights Act due to a lack of black representation. The state has until mid-July to draw up a new plan. Gulf Islands National Seashore says Fort Pickens area will begin reopening today for day use. According to their Facebook page, that'll be starting at 11 o'clock this morning, with their regular day use hours being 5 in the morning until 8 at night. And the campground, Loops A, B, and D, start reopening tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Loops C and E are going to stay closed, and Langdon Beach and 19A parking lots also going to stay closed because of flooding in that area. And the criminal case involving the Nikko Japanese Steakhouse has apparently ended with no charges being filed. Sheriff Bob Johnson talked with us earlier this week. He did say that they had no video footage or eyewitnesses, so they just couldn't prove who contaminated the food. According to the investigative report, the investigation seemed to focus on an individual dressed as a hibachi chef that didn't work at the restaurant, staff members telling investigators. The man had been asked to leave multiple times that night, the restaurant confirming he'd applied there but not been hired. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
Highway 98 near the Tiger Point Golf Course, right near the entrance. As I understand, they're doing some construction in that area. It is down to one lane. Traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms in the later half of the day today. Marginal risk of severe weather, level 1 out of 5. A few storms could be strong. High near 87, low tonight near 73. Typical showers and thunderstorms. Storms by Thursday with a high near 87, low Thursday night near 74. We're going to be seeing our rain chances continue into the end of the week and the weekend. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
75 in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 73 in Milton. And our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kuschenko with Your Money Now. Over the three-year-long pause on student loan payments, the Education Department has repeatedly told borrowers their bills were set to resume, only to take it back and provide them more time. This time, the department means it. Payments will be due starting in October. That will likely be a big adjustment for some 40 million borrowers who have debt from their education. The typical monthly bill, about $350. The Biden administration has rolled out a fresh effort to limit so-called junk fees as the FCC proposed a new rule that would require cable and satellite TV providers to provide upfront all-in prices. The administration criticized providers for charging broadcast TV or regional sports fees that it, in reality, pay for no additional services. Tesla has issued another recall for its battery electric semi, noting the open door warning indicator only displays when the vehicle's parking brake is not engaged and the side door is not fully latched. On Wall Street, futures little changed. That's Your Money Now.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice, now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the hottest gift.
Summer is here. Time for perfectly aged, always tender, and guaranteed delicious Omaha Steaks. Here's an amazing offer when you go to omahasteaks.com and enter hourly into the search bar. Save over 61% on the Gourmet Grill Pack and receive 8 free Omaha Steaks burgers when you order. Omaha Steaks isn't just steak. It's the best steak of your life, guaranteed. Type hourly into the search bar at omahasteaks.com and order the Gourmet Grill Pack today. omahasteaks.com, keyword hourly.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Looking for an affordable healthcare solution? Check out ProHealth. ProHealth's medical membership provides unlimited primary care visits with $0 copay, Teladoc, 24/7 virtual care access with $0 copay, minor emergency care, chronic disease management, 25% off lab work and procedures, free annual flu vaccine, free annual physical, free monthly B12 shot, and more for only $45 a month. No appointment needed. Just walk in one of their 7 locations. ProHealthFL.com. That's ProHealthFL.com.
Get a great deal on versatile Kubota equipment today, like Kubota BX and L Series compact tractors, part of our tractor lineup rated number one in durability and owner experience, Z Series mowers, and Sidekick utility vehicles. Stop by your local Kubota dealer today. Bring home select BX Series equipment for zero down, 0% APR for up to 72 months, plus save up to $800 now through June 30th. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for more details.
Visit the friendly folks at Coastal Machinery, now with 40 years in business, locations in Pensacola and Crestview.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Out.
I just feel like this is something that is important for us. I would hate to see it go away, and I think if we value it, we should be supporting it.
This is Allison Patton, city councilwoman for the city of Pensacola, at the city council meeting last week, talking about a proposal she had to take $10,000 and give it to Civicon, right? Civicon has been the project put together by the PNJ and the Studer Community Institute that brings these world-renowned speakers to Pensacola for, gosh, now, how many years has Civicon been going on? Like 5 or 6? I mean, it's been a long time that it's been going on. And, you know, this tremendous university-level, master's-level education, you know, seminars on how to make great cities, dealing with everything from homelessness to parking to, you know, attracting talent to just, you know, all of the different things that go on. And she said, look, I think this is an important thing. Now, to understand the argument that's going to happen here, you have to understand a couple of things. Number one, this is not being brought out of her discretionary funds. This is being brought out of general fund. Number two, budgets are coming up. Okay. And number three, Civicon, you know, is kind of a sort of a, I mean, it's a nonprofit, right? Sort of a charitable organization, but she's bringing the funding out of professional services is what she's asking for as the kind of thing that you would pay to have people trained in. Okay. That's just background information. You need to understand the argument that's going to ensue between her and Jen Brayer, City Councilman Jen Brayer, and City Councilman Charles Baer. Not the same person. I know, very similar last names, but it's not really fair, but there it is. This sort of ongoing, like if I ever find out that, you know, there was mistreatment of some indigenous people's tribe and, you know, somebody cast a curse on, like, way back when, that you will forever have confusing names for politicians in the Santa Rosa Escambia area, like, well, that would explain it.
You know? And like, the roads.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and the roads, right. Anyway, back to the conversation about Civicon. Jen Brayer?
I don't think it's debatable whether Civicon does good things and brings good topics to town. I think that lots of people are benefited tremendously from it, so I don't think that that's the question here.
Correct.
What I do think is it's not the right time. So within a month or so, we go into debates over the entire budget for next year. At that time, we are going to debate and juggle all the various nonprofits looking for money right now. So bringing it in at this time seems to me to be jumping the process of budgeting for these kinds of things.
So if you view it as helping a charity, then it's out of time. Like, you should do it during the budget process. If you view it as professional services, then it's more appropriate. But she says, look,
if you're looking to do it before we go through the budget process, I think it should come from your discretionary funds.
And if you don't want to wait for the budget process, do it out of discretionary funds, where you do certainly have that kind of money. Both of which are fair and interesting arguments. Okay. Charles Baer says,
I have $12,000 sitting in my account that I inherited some of from last year, and I've spent a little bit this year. And had I known Civicon needed funding, you know, maybe I would have given some of my discretionary funds. Each of the seven of us have funds. The mayor has discretionary funds. I think that would be a more appropriate line item.
Again, with the discretionary funding being a likely source. By the way, how on earth does he inherit $12,000 of discretionary funds from Sherry Myers, who did nothing but ever complain about how no money was allocated for District 2?
I don't know.
How is that possible? That's weird. Like, she was always complaining about how there wasn't enough money being spent in District 2, and she left office with $12,000 unspent? Odd. But okay, anyway, back to Charles Baer.
I don't necessarily see giving a donation to a nonprofit or outside organization like that as professional services.
You know, it's kind of the wrong category. It's not a professional service. It's a nonprofit. It's a charity. Well, Jared Moore comes in with his kind of perspective, and Jared's always got a good perspective.
And I guess the way that I'm looking at it, there it is, a nonprofit organization, but in some ways they're providing, they're contracting the consulting for us in some way, and it's not just for us, it's for the community at large.
Yeah, so they're yes, nonprofit, but they're doing professional services for the city.
The fact that they've been conducting these services for the city and the county pro bono, the fact that up to this point it's just been a free service offered to us, I think is what creates the nuance that this is a nonprofit organization that would be more aligned with a discretionary contribution. But I think if you approach this from a position to say, well, if we didn't have this service being rendered in our community, how would we make this happen? Professional services would absolutely be an appropriate funding source to bring that sort of insight to the community.
Yeah, if it didn't exist and it wasn't free, what would it take to create this service for the city of Pensacola? Is it, well, it'd be expensive and hard to do, but, you know, Studer Community Institute and the PNJ put this together and, you know, did it for free, because if you charge money, people aren't going to go, but they're always packed. Lots of people attend these things. And, you know, so it's a service that has existed that we've kind of taken for granted because it's been free. And he says, well, we can help.
They brought in incredible experts that talk about that, the opioid crisis, affordable housing, how we deal with trees. It's certainly not restricted to how to build a great downtown. They brought in great experts on that, but it is just about every hot button issue that we deal with as leaders. They've brought in best in class experts.
And the reason I wanted to bring this up to you is it might seem like kind of a small question, but I thought it was an interesting conversation about appropriateness and budgets and what the time is and what's the nature of the thing and kind of which things should be supported and through what mechanism, because nobody's disputing that CivicCon is valuable. I don't think anybody's really even disputing that it's worth $10,000 to keep the thing going if they're kind of struggling with funding. You know, no problem. Yes, it's just a question of discretionary fund, professional services, regular budget, charity, those kinds of issues. And Charles Baer wasn't particularly persuaded by these arguments. Tenia Day Broughton weighed in. She doesn't talk an awful lot in city council meetings, so I like to feature it when she does.
In my opinion, CivicCon has been an asset for our community, especially, you know, I'm sure you can't deny it, some of the topics that they've educated us on. And because it's so thorough, I think they've already set a standard for what we can expect from CivicCon that I don't necessarily know what I can predict from just one of us saying, hey, I know somebody who's talking about something cool, right? There's a certain standard, a high standard to CivicCon.
Yeah, she's exactly right. The ability to create this in the first place or to replicate it if it went away is pretty amazing. For his part, Mayor Reeves,
speaking to the conversation about training, and I think it's just an important fact from the staff side for you guys to know, the expectation's been set in this administration that if there's a CivicCon speaker that's pertinent to your department, the expectation's that you're there.
So people go from the city, they're basically assigned to it if it's their, you know, if they're a department head or something like that.
I can speak to whether it's CivicCon or any other organization that would be doing the same work, that's one less plane ticket, one less hotel room.
So that's cost savings for the city, because you don't have to send them to a conference somewhere. They get training value out of it. You don't have to pay for the hotel and the ticket and all that kind of stuff. So in the end, this passed 5-2, Jen Brer and Charles Baer in dissent. But I just thought it was an interesting conversation. I had not thought about CivicCon that way, but it clearly does fit the category and the concept of providing a kind of university training and education for the city, the community, and the leaders in the community at large, but particularly for city employees. So this actually made a lot of sense to me. 647 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And this is brought to you by Fresh from Florida. Toppers, local farmers want to let you know that Florida watermelon's in season right now. Learn more at followfreshfromflorida.com from the Florida Department of Agriculture. I'm getting word that 98 near Tiger Point, there's no delay or anything, and maybe construction hasn't started yet, but it was clear somebody was on their way to Walmart and said, you're just fine. So, hey, if you have traffic tips, though, text them in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you've got any kind of a hardware project, you've got home improvement, you're working on something, go to Pensacola Hardware. It's not just that they'll have the stuff you need, they'll have the advice you need, the information, the guidance, the expertise, and, you know, the kind of place that you can ask them a question and you won't stump them. They'll be like, you know, like, I don't know if your grandfather's like this, but my grandfathers were both the kind of like, if I had a question about how to fix something, you know, just call grandpa. He'll tell me. Well, or go to Pensacola Hardware. You know, like, that's the kind of folks that they are. They love this industry. They love helping people. They love being the resource. They're also a great place to buy gifts, like for, you know, birthdays or weddings or anything. Like, seriously, the front, like, third of the store is all of this housewares and cook stuff, and just I can't describe it. You kind of have to go, and when you go, you'll be like, yep, you can't describe that. Like, it's really kind of amazing. So Pensacola Hardware, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, a great place to get your hardware, great place to buy gifts for over 170 years, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola.
When was the last time you experienced something new? Really new. Like driving an electric vehicle that will change how you think about EVs. Test drive the 2023 Volkswagen ID4 EV at Beadmore Imports and see the smooth aerodynamic design that is so modern and sleek. You'll think you've driven into the future, and the quiet and powerful ride it delivers needs to be experienced to be believed. So stop by Beadmore Imports to experience something new like never before. And Beadmore Imports fills out their lineup of SUVs and crossovers with the 2023 Taos S, now from $24,999. The Tiguan S from $27,999. And the VW Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology from $39,999. And with finance rates as low as 1.9% available on the Tiguan and Taos, there's something new for every driver at Beatmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Beatmore Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tag, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
News Radio Pensacola, a great blend of information from local government authorities, local news, businesses, and provocative discussions with great hosts.
National average for a gallon of gas creeping up just a little bit. 358. Florida's 338. Mississippi is still your best in the land, really. I don't know why it's been that way for a while. 3 even. 486 in California is the worst in the land. We know why that is. 313 east and west of the Walmarts in Navarre. 310 at the Murphy at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge. 333 in proper. In Milton, 315 at the Raceway. 329 in Pea Ridge at the Murphy. And then 319 at the Raceway going through Pace. Getting over into Pensacola, 311 on 9 Mile at the Walmart. Ooh, yuck. The Murphy is not your best option this morning going on 29. You want to wait till the Shell, which has 317 if you get down the road just a little bit. Coming in from the southwest side, 314 at the used-to-be TNC and is now the Gas and Go on Navy. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. 652 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's got our headlines. David?
Well, summer's here. Today's the first official day of summer in the Northern Hemisphere, also known as the summer solstice, the longest day and shortest night of the year. The largest medical association in the U.S. no longer calling on health professionals to report pregnant women who abuse drugs. The American Medical Association says it now believes such reporting would discourage pregnant women from getting help. And there may be some hope yet as the search continues for the sub that went missing while exploring the Titanic wreckage. Internal memos say search crews claim to have heard underwater noises, although they couldn't find where they were coming from. Tim Taylor with Deep Sea Explorer tells NBC News that a rescue is still possible if they're found alive.
I think temperature is going to be a big factor. If they don't have a way to keep themselves warm, they've been in freezing temperatures for 2 days now, and that's a major factor to consider as well.
And reports this morning were that the submersible would have less than 30 hours of breathable air left. The Coast Guard, Navy, and Air Force all involved in the search.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, I absolutely hope they find them, but I have not been optimistic about this for, a while. So hopefully, if they found, noise could be something completely unrelated to them. You don't know what it is for sure, but obviously we're hoping for the best of these situations. 653 on News Radio 92.3, the tornado now confirmed. The National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, that is one of the hardest words to say in the English language. Can we be honest? That's why everybody says NOAA.
Yeah. No lie, right?
No, but it was very interesting. They put out information on this, and they confirmed that it was a 9-mile-long path, just under 8.87, I think, miles long, 450 feet wide. That, to me, was not the most interesting part. What was fascinating was to see the path go from, all the way on the mainland, what I think of as the mainland, over in like Myrtle Grove area, and then all the way over across the water over to, like, you know, Fort Pickens and the Santa Rosa Island area. And what was fascinating is to kind of read through the comments that they had about this, you know, from Fairfield and 52nd is where it started. Several large limbs noted, a few uproots, because they go and investigate and then they see the evidence that this was a tornado or not. And then what size tornado, right? Because they have to categorize it. The tornado likely continued as a waterspout traversing Pensacola Bay, dodging the western tip of Gulf Breeze before wrapping back southwest towards Pensacola Beach. And the reason I mention that is because an EF2 tornado, remember the EF2 tornado was what destroyed like Ferry Pass a couple years ago in 2016, same in century. If this tornado had started, I don't know, 5 miles north of where it was, it would have basically cut a gash through the middle of the western section of Pensacola and Escambia County. And an EF2 9 miles long through that part of town would have been catastrophically bad, right? The damage that, as they talk about, is kind of interesting because that one of the things they said is that, you know, when it got out onto the beach, one of the things they had to take into account was that the damage to the homes in the beach that was still significant indicated that was even stronger than they might originally think from the damage alone, because those homes are built to withstand hurricanes. So when you have a strong house gets, you know, like there was one house that was under construction, got destroyed. Other houses that had siding ripped off. You're like, siding ripped off doesn't seem that big. Yeah, because they're built to withstand a hurricane. That's a big deal. Had that been, again, on the mainland, how much worse could it have been? It flipped a couple of boats over. It, you know, it had a dumpster that it, like, picked up in the air and threw between two trees. 120 miles an hour. The dumpster, a large dumpster weighing several hundred pounds, was thrown 50 to 70 yards, that's 150 to 210 feet east, and deposited between two palm trees 2 feet off the ground. You know, so when you think about tornadoes, you know, you think about carrying cows and houses and trucks and Helen Hunt away, you know, like, right? I mean, not, but, you know, this was a big deal. Went out into the Gulf of Mexico where it likely dissipated, and then, you know, some boats and things like that. So, you know, for the folks who were affected, it was significant. But I think that in the grand scheme of things, you just have to say, you know, thank God it was only on the bay for the most part, and it wasn't on mainland cutting that same level of damage through homes and neighborhoods, which it easily could have done. 657 on News Radio 92.3, Candy's got traffic for us.
And look for more showers, by the way, tonight. I'm not showing any things of wind, but of course, David will cover off on our forecast. That's coming up. Not showing any slowdowns or accidents right now. It looks like everything is fine. Watch for your usual areas of congestion. The only slowdowns I'm seeing are at lights, so I'm not showing anything right now. But if you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, if you have an import, you pay a little bit extra to get that. You know, if you've got a Lexus or a Mercedes, or a Genesis or a Beamer or a Porsche, you know, you pay extra to get it because they're good cars. But you do not have to pay extra to service them. You can take them to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They take care of those cars. They take care of, you know, your diesel engines. They take care of your domestics. They take care of anything that you've got. If it's a motor vehicle, they can work on it. The website is carclinicservice.com. The philosophy of kind of thinking of your car as you do your body, like take it to the clinic for health. That's Bobby Likas Auto Service. 2021 Carfax rated them a top-rated service center, 4.5 average reviews or above. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Future news.
Time for future news, where we tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Okay, we got the tornado confirmed that went over the bay. We were just talking about this. Did Milton get a tornado? Will that be confirmed on Sunday?
Oh, my goodness.
People were out of power. There's a church service out of power. People were getting alerts
all day long. For a day and a half and more.
It was pretty bad. Sure. Do you think that's going to be a tornado?
I think so.
Maybe.
Yeah,
it'd be an EF0 would be my guess.
Sure.
But, yeah, there was pretty significant damage. So, you know, we'll see. Do you think the ban on transgender surgeries and hormone therapies for children that was overturned and the Arkansas rule, when that goes to the Supreme Court, which it will, because several states have passed similar bans like here in Florida, do you think the Supreme Court will allow the bans to stay or will strike them down the way this court did?
I think it's going to strike them down.
I think the Supreme Court will uphold the bans, but it's going to be
right.
Yeah, it's going to be a very, very interesting case. Oh, we've got an interesting suit against a Florida school to put back Entangle Makes Three back in the library, not here but elsewhere. Do you think that lawsuit will win ultimately, that the school will have to put the book back in?
Yes, I do.
I don't think
Listen
so.
On air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.